Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. The European Union is facing huge challenges with a war raging on its doorstep in Ukraine and Donald Trump soon returning to the White House. The Middle East is also, of course, experiencing major changes and ongoing conflict. Those are just some of the topics we'll be discussing today with our guest, José Manuel Álvarez, Foreign Minister of Spain, a close ally of Socialist Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. He's an experienced diplomat who worked in the EU and the G20 group. He was also Spain's ambassador to France. Mr. Álvarez, thanks for coming to see us in our studios in Paris.
Thank you for inviting me.
First question about Syria, of course, and this sudden toppling of the Assad regime. Few saw it coming so quickly. Rebel movements now having taken over Damascus. What is your feeling on the situation and on this HTS rebel movement now in charge?
It's always good news when a dictatorship falls, but we have to be very cautious about what is next. A dictatorship falling, that doesn't mean that democracy appears the next day. For me, there are three things that are essential. First, this military movement must be transformed in a political movement as soon as possible. So far, what we have seen is the rebels advancing very quickly without almost fighting. But we don't want more military movement really deciding the future of Syria. It's to the Syrians themselves to choose their future. The second thing, the Syrian people are plural. The Syrian society is a pluralistic society. So the future Syria must embody everyone, in spite of their religion or where they come from. And the third thing, we must preserve territorial integrity of Syria. We don't want parts of Syria in the hands of different groups. Syria must be a source of stability and not adding more instability to a Middle East that already has too much.
And how can we achieve that? What can Europe do? Should Europe do anything?
Europe must be there to make clear these objectives, to engage, as Spain is doing it, with their Arab partners. I'm talking with most of the foreign minister of the regional countries. And everyone agrees that this is the best for Syria. And of course, to be there to help to rebuild this Syria on a pluralistic and hopefully democratic future.
A few hours before the fall of Damascus, Donald Trump, who will be in charge next year at the White House, of course, said, "We must not forget that Syria is not our friend and we should not get involved." Do you think Donald Trump can be a force of peace for the Middle East and for other regions such as Ukraine?
I don't like to make political fiction. We'll see what will be the first step of Donald Trump. United States is a very important country in the world. It's the natural ally of Europe. And during the Biden administration, they have proven that they can make the difference in different scenarios. Definitely, United States, where their weight, with their diplomatic power, they can, of course, influence all these wars.
And we're mentioning the Middle East. Like Ireland, Spain has recognized the state of Palestine. That has caused some tensions between your country and Israel. Your prime minister calling Prime Minister Netanyahu, saying that he committed a massacre in Gaza, thousands of civilians killed, of course, we know. Would you urge the rest of Europe to act the way Spain did by recognizing the state of Palestine? And what would that change, actually?
Definitely. Not only I could do it, I do it every day. To that list, if we have to add Slovenia and Norway that also join us in that recognition, we are already 145 countries, the majority of the international community that have recognized the state of Palestine, and 11 European Union countries. I think it's a matter of justice for the Palestinian people. I don't see why the Palestinian must be condemned to be eternally a refugee people. And it's also taking into consideration the legitimate concerns of security of the Israeli people. The two-state solution, we know that is the only solution that will bring peace, stability and prosperity definitively to the Middle East. Only a state of Palestine living in good neighborhood with the state of Israel will guarantee mutual prosperity and security. That's why we are calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the implementation of the two-state solution.
Let's now move on to Ukraine. We mentioned Donald Trump. He's already warned that he doesn't want to get involved as much as the Biden administration in that conflict. There are fears in France, in other countries, that Europe will need to rely on itself to in that dossier regarding Ukraine. What is your point of view? What is Spain's position? And how should Europe act towards Ukraine, given the situation with Donald Trump soon in power?
What's at the stake in Ukraine goes well beyond Ukraine. Of course, there is at risk sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine, that is already huge. But beyond that is the very basic principles of the European Union and the United Nations charters that are at stake. Equal sovereignty of a state, the fact of not using war as a way of settling dispute between a state. European Union is a construction of peace. It was meant at the very beginning to ban war from Europe, and we got it here. All that is at stake. Only the Ukrainian government, the President Zelensky government, is entitled to talk on behalf of Ukraine and what they want to do or not to do in the future. So nothing about Ukraine without Ukraine, but I would say nothing about Ukraine without the European Union, because European Union has been helping Ukraine since the very beginning, and we are going to do it as long as it takes. So for all those reasons, we must back the President Zelensky peace plan. I want to recall that only Ukraine talks about peace. Every time we listen to Russia talking about the war, they only talk about resisting, we will win this war, we will never abandon this war. They'll never talk about peace. Only the Ukrainians do it.
Now I'd like to move on to an issue, a topic that is dividing Europe, and that is the Mercosur trade deal that aims to bring free trade deal between Europe, Latin America. It's for an economic and political bloc. You're a staunch supporter of this deal. There are historic links between your country and Latin America, of course. And you said that rejecting it would be a serious mistake. Why is that?
It could be a very serious mistake. First, because Mercosur is ready to move forward. And almost all European Union countries are. The majority is overwhelmingly. There is one country that is not ready.
France, but, Italy, Poland,
Italy's,
several countries.
Italy, I'm talking to my colleague in foreign affairs, and he is not really opposed to that. And when we see that this is going to create the largest market in the world, 700 million people, when we see all the benefits for the European economy, when we see that the things that must be smooth can easily be done by compensation by the Commission, we should move forward. And in this time of the war of Ukraine, the war in the Middle East, Europe really needs partners. This is not only a trade deal. For Latin America, it's also the strong signal of political engagement that the Europeans will want to have with them.
France is for the time being opposed to this deal, like other nations. President Macron saying the current deal is not acceptable. Why is he saying this? Because farmers in France are extremely worried. We've seen them take to the streets, demonstrate, voice their opposition. So that's the case in France. Why are they saying this? Because they're worried that meat, produce coming from Latin America will come onto French markets and it will be cheaper and it won't be the same quality, not the same standards. What do you say to them?
I think that many people talk about the Mercosur agreement without knowing one single word about it. It's like putting anything that we don't like and saying this is Mercosur without not knowing if it's true or not. If you want to protect biodiversity, fight against climate change, Latin America must be together with European Union inside the Mercosur agreement. Latin America has other partners that they really want to engage with Latin America. They will not make any questions about biodiversity or climate change. So if that's what is worrying some European citizens, Latin America is much better in the Mercosur agreement. And no one should stop the whole of Europe from joining this agreement.
And one last question on immigration. What is the Spanish socialist government's policy on immigration? I believe you are planning to give papers to 900,000 migrants very soon?
We have a long-standing policy. We know very well the phenomenon of irregular migration. I want to recall that irregular migration is a small percentage of the whole migration movement that happens every day. We have a very high-level political dialogue with our very good partners, Morocco, Mauritania, Senegal, Gambia. We have tripled our development cooperation programs with Africa and launch a new strategy, and we fight relentlessly against the mafia that do illegal trafficking. We must be very clear with our citizens. We don't have to lie to them. Structural problems don't have a solution. Conjunctural problems have a solution. Structural problems, you manage them. As long as the border between Africa and the European Union is the most unequal border in the world, which is it is, there will always be this irregular movement. Our economy needs new people if we want to keep this growth, and we cannot be resolute to see the Mediterranean be year after year the place where thousands of African people go to die. We really have to act and to manage. We want, of course, a migration that is secure, that it's order, but also that is humane and respects human rights.
José Manuel Álvarez, Spain's foreign minister, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's the end of part one of Talking Europe. Stay tuned to France 24 for part two with our debate at the European Parliament with MEPs.